Hi, this is Alan Carrington again from the CLPD at the University of Adelaide. We're in Between the Buttons. We're at another episode where I'm sitting here talking to a visiting ALTC fellow. Gee, I hope that doesn't hurt, Matthew. Matthew Allen, so hi and thank you for your time. Where are you from?
I'm from Curtin University. I run the Department of Internet Studies there, as well as being an ALTC teaching fellow.
Tell me what an ALTC fellow is, please.
Basically, I got a very generous amount of money to support me in doing some applied research and development on innovative teaching and learning, courtesy of the Australian Learning and Teaching Council.
And you were certainly very kind enough to visit Adelaide a few months ago, where we talked about Web 2.0 technologies. I was interested to hear you say this morning that you're not sure about the term anymore. You can talk to that one, but the thing that you presented this morning about authentic learning is nothing short of awesome. Tell us what you mean by that. What is authentic learning?
Did I say it right?
Yes. Well, authentic learning is a trick you play on students. Students are the reality for a student is that they're undertaking a course of study at a university, and that's a very real experience. But as we know, that reality with its interest in assessment and achievement and individual competitiveness and everything that's bound up with formal education, that can actually get in the way of learning sometimes. So if you change the context and create a scenario or an environment that models or somehow draws upon something which happens normally in an everyday way outside of the university, in that context, students can actually learn a whole lot more and have more fun doing it.
Okay, has a sense of radicalness, if that's the right word. It seems a little radical. Tell us a specific. What did you do at Curtin?
We ran a unit of study on internet communities and social networks. So we're trying to teach students or getting students to learn how communities online work, what are the ins and outs of social networking, so they both can do it more effectively as facilitators and managers, but also understand the concepts behind it. So rather than just have a unit of study where week by week we run them through topics and they read and they write and discuss, we organised the whole unit around a three-week online conference that took place towards the end of the semester. And everything in the unit was all focused around planning, preparing for, presenting a paper at the conference, and then participating by discussing the other papers of all the students, and then a reflection at the end to see what it is they'd learned out of that experience. So we took this idea of the online conference with a public audience, freely available to anyone who could find it on the internet, so it's very authentic knowledge networking activity, and said to the students, everything you do to learn about the subject matter is subordinate to this participation in and success of the conference.
And what did you see any improvement in engagement? Did the students like this idea?
The students loved it. We, of course, did some research to see what the effect of this new way of teaching was, and about 90% of the students either agreed or strongly agreed that this was a great experience. And in almost all of the items that we asked them in the survey, did it help them with their learning? Did they benefit from students commenting on their own work and commenting on other students' work? Was it realistic? Did the feedback we gave them help? The agree score was over 85, nearly 90% in almost all cases.
Was it that these students were tracking a path towards being academics, or why would it suddenly you think students wanted to put in papers?
Well, I guess we told them to put in papers, and that's one of the interesting things about so-called authentic learning. You still have in a university setting this power dynamic where the teachers get to tell the students what to do. And we shouldn't shy away from that, because we can use that power to make the students think outside of the box, to do things that they're not expecting, enter into a kind of an agreement with you that they'll give in to what it is you're demanding that they do, if they trust that it's going to be a fun experience where they're going to learn. No, this is not an academic conference. This is a conference in the very loose sense of the word. We needed to come up with a catchy name for what we were doing. In a more formal sense, it's a publicly available online knowledge networking event. So we don't want to say that, so we call it an online conference. So all of these students are, in fact, in the courses they're studying, quite practically oriented. They're wanting to go out and be web designers or online facilitators or public relations consultants. Some of them are trainee librarians. They've actually got a very practical orientation away from, quotes, academic research. And we're trying to teach them ideas and concepts. And some of them in the past have been quite resistant. They want to do practical things about building websites. So because we also want them to engage with concepts and ideas, we wanted a more authentic and real context in which they would see the value in engaging with that material, not just because we were telling them to, but because they could share some of our motivations for this public event. And all the evidence is that not only did they find it realistic, they bought into the mythology of this online conference. And it was real. We had people from outside of the university coming and looking and commenting on the papers. But they actually learned more because of it.
You know, what comes to mind is not an original idea. Guy Kawasaki came up with it for the title of his book. It's called Selling the Dream. Yeah, and to me, that's what I was getting when you were saying this. Somehow we're tapping into the students' dreams and their aspirations, and then we're allowing them through a process to actually communicate that vision.
We are tapping into their aspirations. I wouldn't necessarily say dreams, but I think obviously the students in a course that's about public online communication are going to be more tuned into the value and be enthusiastic for that kind of work. Mm. Yet in other units of study, we've seen a reluctance to engage in it unless there was this kind of realism to it.
Okay. We just did a wonderful, wonderful exercise in the seminar where everybody was sitting around talking about how widely applicable is this. I mean, your case was communication subject. What else can you do? How do we get the teachers to think outside the box?
I think the idea of authentic learning experiences can be applied in any subject that's taught at university, but it will be different in each case. So the trick is to try and model in your head, as you're thinking about how to design a unit of study, something which isn't just sitting in classrooms, that isn't just writing essays, reading, discussing, to try and draw on what people would do in an everyday context outside of the university and then massage and manoeuvre it into a form that is going to work for students.
Okay, well, let's just do a quick 1 minute role play. You're now the learning and teaching dean.
Yes.
At your institution, and you want to get all your teachers, all your lecturers to experience or start to explore this thing. How do you do that? Is it just got a big, large case of beer?
No. What you do is you avoid trying to get everybody to do this because some people are not able to. Teaching innovation needs to be tuned into what is needed in the classroom or in the online space for a particular teacher at a particular time. We know from Sean's work on organisational change that there are moments when the set regimes unfreeze and you can make changes happen, then tend to freeze again. So what you would actually try and do is empower teaching academics to have the time and space to think differently.
Are you thinking money?
I think it is money. I think it's time. I think it's motivation as well. We talk a lot about motivating students to do things better and different. What are the motivations for academics?
That's a big question.
I think the answer is always to drive down authority and power about decision making to where it makes best effect. Curtin University is a fairly centralised place, but when Curtin works, it's when it authorises and empowers individual academics to make changes that work for them, and that the people from the centre guide and help that work rather than trying to direct or drive or mandate it.
And I'm sitting in there, I'm a learning designer, as you know, with the CLPD. I was sitting in a group where a couple of the guys there were somewhat ICT challenged. Mm. Okay, no names mentioned, right? How do you address that issue with the fact that a lot of the teachers may not feel empowered to do this?
Well, I'm going to answer that. I'm going to answer that first by saying ICTs or the internet or network technologies don't necessarily play a role in this. But one of the benefits when you're trying to do authentic learning experiences is that online technologies solve a whole lot of logistical problems. People have run conferences at universities for students many times in the past, but they're a nightmare to organise. If you had 100 students all trying to present a paper in a traditional way, how on earth would you make that work in the busy schedules that we have now? 25 years ago, maybe you could make it work as a special event for some select group of students. Now, with 100 students, the online technologies allowed us to have all of those students' papers published online, all at the right time, very straightforward. We had 2,500 comments on those papers in a 3-week period. The students were able to engage with what they were interested in and really put the time and effort into commenting and thinking about them. So, yes, you need to use network technologies to solve problems you couldn't otherwise deal with. And in a way, really what we need is a process of encouraging all new and newish academics to understand themselves as online intellectuals, that you can't be a researcher, you can't be a teacher, you can't be anybody who's a knowledge worker these days without learning to inquire and investigate and use the incredible array of devices and technologies that we have.
We're on 10 minutes, okay? We try to keep it to that, but I can't stop. Okay, I've got to ask you one more question. Is part of the ALTC resourcing for you some sort of community of practice in this? Are you looking to... How do we get together with other innovators and tap into this thing? Because what I saw just happen in that classroom was quite amazing. Okay.
Well, the ALTC does, in a sense, promote that community of practice. But, you know, I would throw out the word community and use the word network. One of the challenges of communities is that they can take more time to run, manage, maintain than the final result provides. In an era of sophisticated networking technologies like these podcasts we're doing right now, what we want is less focus on organized distribution of results and much more on innovative multi-channeling. The stuff is out there online. People find it when and where they need it and kind of flock to it, do something with it, and then spread out again. Communities of practice, I think, is the dead end in this, because all the work goes into the community. What we need is more work on the practice.
Matthew, you've got 30 seconds to tell me how to start, because I really have no idea what that... I want to do what you just said. Where do I start?
Where do you start? You go to Google and you start searching.
So Google Jockey is the person we need.
I think every academic needs to become sophisticated in finding stuff out that isn't what they're expecting to find, not sticking within their own narrow confines of expertise.
I think we've just defined a new graduate attribute.
At that Google, point... Google Jockey.
A Google Jockey. We're going to finish that up. I've been talking to Matthew Allen from Curtin University. Thank you for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.